I don't know about you, but snakes absolutely scare me. How do you feel when you hear about or see a snake? Does it make you feel afraid as well? Or maybe you're one of those people who are fascinated by snakes. Some of them are very beautiful, aren't they? Well, today's big question is, have you or someone you know ever been bitten by a snake?
Hello and welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Tammy.
And I'm Carol. And yes, snakes are not one of my favorite things.
Oh, Carol, I can understand that. But on the opposite side of things, I love snakes.
Oh my goodness.
I was raised with snakes, and my mother actually worked at a serpentarium, a place that houses snakes and milks them for their venom. So we grew up with pet snakes.
I'm speechless. Well, I expect that we all certainly have different feelings about snakes.
Definitely.
But the important thing is not how we feel about snakes, but what to do if we get bitten by one.
That's right.
And then, most important, how we can avoid being bitten.
Now, Carol and I have friends who know a lot about snakes. And we even have a friend who is a nurse who lived in India for many years, and she knows a lot about snakes and snake bites. So today, we are going to share with you what we've learned about snake bites.
I think it's important for us to understand why it is that more and more people are even seeing snakes today, and maybe for the first time. There have been many changes that people have made that mean that there are more likely to be snakes in our areas. For example, as the jungle gets cleared for farming, the habitat for snakes becomes less, and so there are often more snakes closer to where people live. Another change is that crops that are grown in many areas, like rice or wheat, they encourage a population of rats and frogs. Both of those are good food for snakes. So if you grow crops close to villages, you are more likely to have snakes living close to people.
And we humans produce a large amount of rubbish, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we often store our food items in containers that rats can easily get into. I know they love dog food. Anywhere that there are more rats, there are more likely to be more snakes. Then we often have other rubbish lying around, like piles of bricks or old tires. These may provide the perfect place for snakes to hide near where people live. Different snake species live in different places, but they mostly like to hide around places like piles of sticks, wood, bricks, pipes, and in thick brush, anywhere they have a tiny space to crawl into.
Well, whether you like snakes or you're afraid of them, some of them are dangerous for people. Why? Well, of course, some have venom, and when they bite, the venom causes people to become very sick and sometimes even to die.
There are two main sorts of venom. The first is called neurotoxic. Neuro means nerves, so this venom attacks the nerves and makes the person paralyzed. Eventually, they're unable to breathe and they'll die.
The second kind of venom is called hemotoxic. Hemo means blood. So this venom stops the blood from clotting, and the person might eventually bleed to death. Some snakes have venom that cause skin and other body tissues to die, and the venom from some snakes has a mixture of effects. The mouths of snakes are also not very clean and have a lot of bacteria. So snake bites can often become infected.
Today on Women of Hope, we're learning some interesting things about snakes and some very important things to know if we live where there are a lot of snakes.
You know, our friend from India said that India is a country known for its snakes. Some snakes are not poisonous, but some are very poisonous. Snakes often live quite close to where people live. India has many farms, and people working the fields often see snakes. And many people often get bitten and die. Snakes move around more in the wet season, so that's when there are more snake bites.
I wonder if you live where there are a lot of snakes. Even if there are not so many, it only takes one snake to bite you. So let's talk about what to do if you or someone else is bitten by a snake. Venomous snake bites are not always painful, and you may not even see marks. There may or may not be puncture marks or scratch marks. We certainly don't always see two puncture marks, as many people think. Venomous snakes have more than just two fangs in their mouths. They have other teeth, both top and bottom, just like we do. There may be many scratch or puncture marks. A venomous snake only needs to break the top layer of skin and leave a tiny bit of venom that you can't even see to be dangerous. Any suspected snake bite must be treated with immediate first aid. Put on a pressure bandage, immobilize the limb, and get to the hospital urgently.
So here's what you do. First, quickly check that the snake is no longer around. Don't try to catch or kill the snake.
That's right.
It's very dangerous. Stay calm. Calm the person down who's been bitten. And keep them as still as possible so that the venom does not move quickly through their body. Get them to lie down. Reassure them. And use a mobile phone and call the emergency number if you can. Next, if possible, apply a wide crepe bandage over the bite site. Cover up to 10 centimeters on either side of the bite. If a bandage is not available, tear towels or sheets or clothing into strips for a bandage, and then wrap it firmly, but not so tightly that it cuts off the blood flow. Then immobilize the bitten limb. Use a splint, a stick, or a rolled-up newspaper, or even some cardboard. You should bandage or tie the splint to the limb. All joints of the bitten limb need to be totally immobilized, so it can't move at all. So if the bite is on the lower leg, immobilize the foot and the knee as well. The idea is to slow down the blood flow so that the poison doesn't move around the body. Once the limb is immobilized, get the person as quickly as possible to the hospital. If possible, bring the transport to the person so that they don't have to walk. Call an ambulance or call someone with a car or a truck that can transport the person to the hospital quickly.
Now, here are some things not to do or some do nots. Do not wash the bite site. A doctor can use a sample from the bite site to help identify the venom and give the correct anti-venom. Do not give food or drink, especially alcohol. Some sips of water are okay if it takes a long time to get the person to the hospital. Do not cut or suck the bite. If you suck the bite, the venom might affect you, and cutting it may cause other unwanted medical problems. Do not apply or use a tourniquet. A tourniquet can cause injuries to nerves, tendons, ligaments, arteries, and veins in the limb. And do not stop at the local healers. Just get the person to the hospital as quickly as possible.
Let's talk a little about the best ways to prevent snake bites. Here are a few good ideas. Look where you're going. Now, it sounds common, but look where your hands are going. Look where your feet are going. Don't put your hands into places that you cannot see into.
Carry a stick ahead of you when you walk. This can often give the snake a chance to get out of your way before you stand on it. Also, you can use the stick to poke or disturb a pile of sticks or a bundle of grass before you pick them up with your hands.
Wear shoes. Especially if you're going to be walking in long grass or in the bush, wear long pants as well, tucked into your socks.
Use a torch or a flashlight if you're walking around at night, even near the house. Snakes like to lie on warm paths.
We talked before about rats being a snake's favorite food. So keep the snakes away by keeping rats away. Keep food items in solid containers and clean up food scraps and put them in a pit some distance away from your house.
Keep the area around your house clean. Sleep on beds off the ground if you can. And a well-tucked-in mosquito net will help to keep the snakes away.
Well, that was a lot of information. So let's remember what to do if someone is bitten. There are three important things: pressure, immobilize, transport to the hospital as quickly as possible. Keep the person calm and still and reassure them.
And do not apply a tourniquet. Do not cut and suck the bite or wash it. Do not give food and drink. And do not stop at the local healer, but get to the hospital quickly.
Here on Women of Hope, we're always talking about the God of the Bible, aren't we? The one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We often share with you little parts and stories that are all in the Bible. Well, those little parts and stories are all part of one big story, a very big and special story, which the whole Bible, God's true word, tells us. Today, we would love to share with you that true story.
This true story starts even before the world existed. In the beginning, there was God. Nothing else existed. God created the earth, the planets, the sun, and the moon. He created the entire universe. God created the oceans, the lands, every kind of plant and animal. And He blessed all these things and delighted in them. The Bible says that God saw that it was good.
God made a perfect world. It was more beautiful and more wonderful, more glorious than you or I could ever imagine. God created the most beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. In it were beautiful trees that produced delicious fruit. And in the middle of the garden, God planted the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God created the first human being, and He breathed life into him and called him Adam. And then God created a woman to be Adam's companion. Adam called her Eve. God told Adam that he could freely eat the fruits from every tree in that garden. But Adam was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said that if he ate from that tree, he would surely die.
Now, let's just think about who God is and what He's like. We can see from what we've talked about that God is powerful and creative. In fact, God is all-powerful. God is also perfectly good and pure. And He is infinitely loving. His love never ends and has no boundaries. In the Bible, there are many psalms that people have written to praise God. One small part of one of those psalms says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies."
God gave Adam and Eve a wonderful life in that beautiful garden. They had a very close relationship with Him. He gave them a life of love and happiness. They knew no pain. Yet despite everything that God had given to them, they were tempted to do what God had told them not to do, to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, rather than what God had planned for them to do. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed God, just like we all do. The moment they disobeyed God, sin or wrongdoing entered the world. Sin is the wrong things that we do, we think, or we say. And with sin, other bad things came into the world. People felt guilty and ashamed, and God's perfect world was broken. And now today we see that a lot of things are broken in this world, don't we? Our relationships with other people are broken, we feel broken inside of ourselves, and our relationship with God is broken. Do you feel that in your life?
Adam and Eve could no longer enjoy a perfect, loving relationship with God in that beautiful garden. God sent them away from the garden and said that from then on, humans would have hard work and pain as they grew crops and as women had children. And since God is perfect and pure and he cannot stand sin, people are afraid of God, who is so holy. So the relationship between God and people was broken. There was nothing man could ever do to restore that relationship with God. And people continued to suffer in all kinds of ways. Is there suffering in your life? But God loved the people he created so, so much. He wanted to make a way to repair his relationship with them. God showed people some things about himself through the natural world, and he made known what he was like to certain people. He called Abraham and his descendants to worship him and to learn about him and to show other nations about God. And God promised to send his special Savior as a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of David, the king of Israel. Time after time, God showed his love and grace to these people, and time after time, they turned away from him. You will find all of these stories in God's true word, the Bible. But God was faithful to his promises because he still wanted to have that loving relationship with us.
So at last, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth about 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born a human being, a boy, a child, who grew up to be a man. He taught people about God, about what he was like, and how people can follow him. And Jesus showed everyone what God the Father was like. That's because Jesus was also God, coming as a man. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. But there was a much more important reason why Jesus came to the earth to live as a man. You see, Jesus actually came to die. He died in a cruel and very painful way so that he could pay for all the sins in the world. He chose to take the punishment for all this sin. Jesus never sinned, so he didn't deserve to be punished. We deserve to be punished because of all that we have sinned. Every person sins or does wrong. And we all do and think and say lots of wrong things, don't we? So Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. He did this so that God wouldn't have to punish us. He took away the consequences of sin that separated us from God. And this means that God can forgive us, and we can repair our relationship with God.
But that wasn't the end for Jesus. 3 days after he died on the cross, Jesus came back to life. The Bible says that God's power raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. If we want to have a relationship with God, we need to believe that Jesus Christ died to take away the punishment for our sins. We just need to ask God to forgive us for our sins. God wants to forgive us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. To have a relationship with Him is to love Him and to get to know Him. We get to know Him through reading and listening to His Word, the Bible, and by spending time praying, just talking to Him. You can learn more about Him as you listen with us here on Women of Hope. And to have a relationship with Him also means to follow Him, to be like Him.
When we begin to follow God, asking for His forgiveness, He gives us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live with us, to live inside of us, to guide us and strengthen us and comfort us. The Holy Spirit will help you to resist sin and to become more like God. If you follow Jesus, you can be sure that the Spirit lives within you, and He is helping you. He gives us something else, too, when we follow Him. He gives us eternal life. That means that when we ask God to forgive us and we begin to follow Him, our relationship with Him will last forever. We will live on with Him forever. One day, God will make everything new. He will restore or heal everything that is broken. There won't be any more suffering, and the Bible says that there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. He will make each one of us new. We won't sin anymore. There will be no more sin anywhere. Those who love Him will enjoy being with Him and each other forever.
We hope that you have a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus. If you have questions about what you just heard, or would like to just write to us and tell us about your relationship with Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week, filled with God's blessings.